off, baby. Big 12 open for business.
You know, Mitch.
They love their Coopers.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I am your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy as always to have you on board to the podcast wherever and however you may be listening to the show. So much to unpack with BYU basketball. Eventful times for Cougar Hoops. All of the paranoia, all the concern. Weeks ago from Mark Pope leaving for Kentucky, it's finally getting pushed to the side, and there can be some excitement once again for BYU basketball as a pair of key contributors to this BYU basketball program lock in, are going to run it back with BYU Hoops next season. We'll talk about that as Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall are returning to BYU next season. We'll also kind of just break down the latest with BYU Hoops and an early outlook on this team. You know, there's some disagreement that I have with a narrative that's maybe forming because of these moves, but still, exciting times ahead with BYU basketball. The leadoff, Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders, coming back to BYU. Huge deal. You know, I thought Dallin Hall, there was a chance that he would be back. I feel pretty good about the chances of Dallin Hall coming back, but Richie Saunders, I got to say, that one surprised me a little bit. And because Saunders takes a trip out to Lexington, Kentucky, that relationship with Mark Pope, pretty strong. And the uncertainty with the coaching search sent Saunders into the portal, but now he's running it back and coming back to BYU. And then hours later, the following morning, Dallin Hall, he shuts it down and he is coming back to BYU as well. Huge additions for BYU. And I think it goes beyond simply their style of play, their ability as players. These two guys are local in-state products, LDS athletes. It was critical to get those guys back to BYU. It was huge. It's hard to imagine those players being anywhere else besides BYU. And Kevin Young, new head coach for BYU, he has made it a point to retain this roster, and he has done an excellent job to this point. You look at the roster as it's currently constructed from the scholarship perspective for next season. Noah Waterman back, Trevin Nell back, Trey Stewart back, Usini Traore back, Dawson Baker back, Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders, they lock in and exit the portal. They are back. And then you have new freshmen Isaac Davis and Brody Kozlowski. That's a pretty solid roster for BYU. Still work to improve this team. I think that there's still a lot of work to be done there, clearly, as you've got a handful of scholarship openings on this roster. But Dallin Hall, to me, and I've said it before on this podcast and on Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Nation on KSL News Radio, Dallin Hall has NBA potential. If you want to forecast who could be the next NBA guy as Jackson Robinson declares for the NBA draft, who could be that next NBA guy? To me, it's Dallin Hall. His ability to pass the ball, he's one of the best passers in the Big 12 Conference. Last year, he was 7th in assist rate in the league. And when Hall is knocking down the three, he is dynamite. And when he takes care of the basketball, he was a real barometer for how good or how much BYU was struggling in games. When he'd have the games where he got sped up and turned the ball over, more times than not, BYU typically lost. They were 2-5 in games where he had three turnovers or more last season. Hall took a huge step forward this past year as a sophomore and earned honorable mention all Big 12. He's one of the best guards in the Big 12. And I think he's got NBA potential. When you're one of the best in the Big 12, you could be a pro. And so getting Dallin Hall, I think, is just massive for BYU. His interest was real, too, from other programs. You talk about Oklahoma, Clemson, Duke, the usual local suspects with Utah State. He had options. This isn't one of those deals where you go into the portal and really no one's calling and you run back to BYU. No, there was legit interest, and he's running it back. And I think that the transfer portal is a trying deal for fans because once the season ended in college basketball, you see BYU being viewed as a top 15 team, potentially maybe top 10 in the way too early rankings for next year. And you're thinking, man, this BYU team could be pretty special. And then you lose Richie, you lose Hall, you lose Ali Khalifa, you lose a handful of these guys. You're thinking, man, why not just stay put? With a coaching change, I don't blame any of these guys for going into the portal. It's so impressive, the guys that just stood pat and said, I'm going to be at BYU. That's really impressive. And look, they still got time until about May 12th to put their name into the portal, so there's still a lot of time. But I think at this juncture, you're about a week and a half into the Kevin Young tenure. Why would you leave at this point? Unless it's a deal where Kevin Young lays the writing on the wall and says, hey, this is how I envision you. Might be in your best interest to move on. But for the other guys, I think that there's clearly a role. And I think it's exciting that a big core of BYU's talented team that had success in year one of the Big 12 comes back. Now, I think the assumption that a lot of people are making now is that fifth place in the Big 12 last year, you bring back Hall, you bring back Saunders, you're only going to get better. Saunders was brilliant last season. I thought he was one of the best storylines of BYU this past year. He always showed up, and he had a consistent role, and I think he's only got more to be had in his BYU career. I don't know if he's a pro or not. I don't know, but he's a dang good college basketball player, and when you look at third in the Big 12 in offensive rating, Richie Saunders was all over the place. You think back to that TCU game last March, he got a standing ovation for his play. He had an 11-point performance as he single-handedly put BYU back in a spot to come back from 17 points down to win that ball game. Saunders is huge. Both those guys coming back are just key for Kevin Young in helping form a narrative that, man, these players are impressed with what he's putting down and what he's selling. And look, I think it also helps, too, that BYU, in this world of players are willing to move at any time, BYU still has a brand and a lot of cachet for athletes where they just want to be BYU guys. And that helps the efforts, too. But I think also Kevin Young's pretty impressive. And Kevin Young's a coach that he will be creative and he will find unique ways and he will run a system that will prepare you for the NBA. That's one of his goals in this BYU basketball program. But to assume by these additions coming back that BYU is suddenly going to be one of the best teams in the Big 12, I humbly disagree with that right now. There's still time in the portal to add to this roster, and depending on who you can add in the portal, you know, maybe you could be in that top mix, but I'm telling you, the Big 12 conference this past year was down by Big 12 standards. It is going to be a much better league next season. You're going to have a 20-game schedule, and you're adding Arizona, you're adding Colorado, you're adding Arizona State, and you're adding your heated rival, Utah. Those are two intense games, whether Utah is kind of in the cellar or not. Those are high intense games that just add a lot of juice to a matchup. So it's going to be a tougher schedule. I would argue, too, the non-conference schedule will be much tougher next season as well, as you have a trip to Providence in the Big 12 Big East battle. Providence could be a preseason top 25 team next year. You're going to go out there to the East Coast. You're going to go to Wyoming still. You're going to play in a MTE against the national runner-up Purdue, or you're going to face a John Calipari-led Arkansas, or you're going to face Notre Dame. Notre Dame's kind of down and out, but you should win that if you match up with them. But still, tough games. Tough schedule next year. If I'm Kevin Young and I'm Nick Robinson, if he's still retained on the staff as that scheduling guy on, you know, in the program still, that's what he was for Mark Pope, if he was retained, I would fill out the rest of the roster with bye games and just call it good and play the rest of your schedule at home and maybe have one game at the Delta Center and call it good. because you want to be in a position to chase the NCAA tournament. I do think this roster, as currently constructed, is good enough to get you back to the dance. And that's all you can honestly ask for. If you're looking for Kevin Young to be a Big 12 title contender in year one, I think you're chasing the wrong goalpost. Look, everyone wants to get a Big 12 title. I get that. But it's about getting to the dance, getting to the NCAA tournament, and winning in that event. That's the key for BYU. And getting Hall and getting Saunders puts you in that position to get back to that stage. You're still going to have the limitations as far as seeding and brackets and things like that. But this roster, this core coming back is good enough to get back to the dance. Now, you don't have much of a margin for error when it comes to injuries. And Dawson Baker's still a big question with that foot. And to me, he's someone that is a key piece to what BYU is next season. So that's going to be a key development that we have to monitor. And you got to add some more guys out of the portal to fill out this roster. But there's nice options for BYU to get back to the NCAA tournament. And that's kind of the, not the expectation, but I feel like that's a reasonable goal in year one for Kevin Young. And that's all you can ask for, because every night these Big 12 games are going to be tough. I mean, the Big 12, the additions that Kansas is making, my goodness, Kansas is just ticked that they were really not that good this past season in the Big 12. The way they're loading up, they are deep once again. They're the Kansas that you've kind of grown to expect, the additions that they made. Iowa State might be national title good next year. Houston, they lose Jamal Shedd, and that's just a daunting task to replace him. But you still get Miles Uzan from Oklahoma, who I thought going into last year was going to be one of the best guards in the conference. They add him to Houston. They get a lot of players back. Jawan Roberts, Javier Francis, LJ Cryer runs it back. You add Arizona. Baylor's got VJ Edgecombe, one of the best freshmen in college basketball next year. This league's going to have go about five deep, and they're all probably like top eight, top 10 good in college basketball. Cincinnati's got Day-Day Thomas. They've got C.J. Frederick. They got Azeez Bandinga, who's currently in the draft process but maintained his eligibility potentially. Dan Skilling is going to be a star. I mean, the Big 12 is just going to be so good. And if you're 10th place in the Big 12, that's still probably good enough to get to the dance. So there's just got to be a little bit of context, because last year's BYU team still had its days where they got thumped by an Oklahoma State. They got thumped by a K-State. They lost in the dance to Duquesne. You know, so just to assume that all these pieces come back together and think, oh, it's only going to get better with a new staff, I just think that pump the brakes a little bit and give Kevin Young a chance to really create his identity, and don't put these unreasonable expectations in year one on him. Look, he's going to have high expectations. He even laid it out to me when I asked him. He expects to win and go win in the NCAA tournament. So he's going to have higher expectations than anyone, but I just think that when you look at the picture of the composite of the league, it's going to be better. And last year's schedule, I thought, was relatively weaker than a lot of the Big 12 teams faced. You didn't have two games against Houston. You didn't have two games against Kansas, even though Kansas was a dud last year still. You didn't face them twice. You had some breaks with one of your road games being West Virginia. You had two games against K-State, two games against Oklahoma State, three games against UCF. Like, there were just some scheduling quirks that worked in BYU's favor. And then you had a weak non-conference schedule, and it all just kind of worked nicely for BYU. Next year, the schedule is tougher simply by the additions of the four corners and the non-conference schedule, how it's loading up. But with all that said, though, in the words of transfer portal edits, with all that being said, these are big moves for BYU. They're important moves. Because Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders were just BYU guys. And I think Cougar fans did not want to see them in other uniforms. Like, there's other guys like Ali Khalifa. He left, and he had a nice farewell post, and that was cool. And Atiki Ali Atiki's on the move. But Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders, they served missions. Like, they just seem like BYU guys. Even Richie Saunders in his transfer portal post, it was eating at him. you can read through those words that it was just a tough deal to even stomach the idea of leaving BYU. But now they have the chance to become BYU stars and BYU greats. And I thought Mark Durant had a good post on X. And it, to me, it's one of those things I've brought it up on Cougar Sports Saturday in the past, too. Name, image, and likeness is, I don't blame anyone for getting a bag. Like, if I was 20, 21, I would be hard-pressed to turn down half a mil or whatever numbers are getting thrown out there. I mean, come on. Like, that is just insane money that gives you a great head start in life when you're not faced with so many bills, when you're not faced with all the challenges of, you know, your day-to-day life. That just gives you a great start in life, right? And but I think at the same time, there's a lot of NIL value potentially for guys that become four-year standouts at a school. Like Jimmer Fredette still has NIL value at BYU. And what I mean by that is that that guy, if he needs some connections in the BYU world, like everyone's picking up the phone in BYU's world for Jimmer Fredette. He's a BYU legend. Any company wants to partner with him, like he is one of the greatest of all time right there with Danny Ainge. And by being a BYU star, that created a lot of opportunity still to this day. Imagine if Jimmer left BYU and went into the portal his senior year and then went to another program for a million. Does he still have those BYU connections? You wonder. You know, I just think that's something you have to remember, I think, long term. The connections that BYU can give athletes is real. And you hear coaches talk about it, like Kalani Sitake, and I think in the moment you think, hey, you got to have the bag. And look, you got to have a competitive bag, and BYU still had a competitive bag with all this Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders stuff with their collective. But the BYU network and the connections you can get if you become not even a BYU star, but someone who just played their career at BYU, there's a lot of opportunities that come from that long term that other schools do not provide. If you're just becoming a school where guys are just in and out, in and out, in and out, you don't really create that brotherhood, that alumni base, that connection, and the networking opportunities that you get by being part of a university. And then if you do become a star, I think that opens up just endless opportunities long term. So that's in front of Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders now, because I think everyone will remember this moment in time where these guys had the opportunity to go to some legit blue blood brands. Richie Saunders, Kentucky and Mark Pope wanted him. That photo of Pope and Leanne Pope waiting for Richie and his wife at the airport on the escalator. I mean, that is a real deal. Like, they wanted him part of that Kentucky team. And Dallin Hall had opportunities to go to Duke. But they're coming back to BYU, and it creates an opportunity for them to just become etched in BYU lore as some of the all-timers. And I do think Saunders has an ability to become better. I think right now, I would say he's a starting five guy. I'm fascinated to see what Kevin Young does with Richie Saunders in his program and what leaps Dallin Hall takes in year two in the Big 12 and his third year with the BYU basketball program. So a lot of good stuff for BYU hoops right now. And I think all the nervous feelings and the, oh, woe is me, and oh, this coaching change just took away a potential special season, all those thoughts can go out the window. Now it's about building for next year and putting together the new pieces that can add to this existing core for Kevin Young. And he's still got to finalize his coaching staff. He's got Brandon Dunson as the first official assistant coach hire. So be tracking all of that on KSLSports.com. We'll have Trevin Nell on Cougar Sports Saturday coming up this weekend. We'll also have Brody Kozlowski. So it's going to be a loaded show on KSL News Radio, noon to 3 on your legacy home of the Cougars. So hope you tune in. Appreciate all of you listening to Cougar Tracks, and subscribe, leave a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. We'll talk to you next time here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.